And welcome to another edition of Beyond Reality. I'm your host, Dr. Shelley Kerr. You can hear us today and you can call us today on BBS Radio at 1-877-876-5227. And you're going to want to give us a call tonight because I've got a very exciting guest. My guest is Bart Sabrell. Bart has been making movies for 20 years, during which time he's owned three television production companies and worked for two of the three major networks. His national credits include films for NBC, Fox, CNN, the Nashville Network, Lifetime, and BET. And his top awards from the American Motion Picture Society include Best Cinematography and Best Editing. And we're going to talk to Bart tonight about his amazingly controversial films, including A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, Astronauts Gone Wild, and Apollo 11, Monkey Business. And you can visit Bart online at moonmovie.com. Bart, welcome to Beyond Reality.
Hello, Shelley. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. I met you last year at a show in Nashville, and I was actually stunned and amazed by the information that you shared with me at that time. And I was wondering if you could just talk to us first and tell us how you discovered this information and exactly what the movie A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon is about.
Sure. Well, it started when I was 14 years old. Gosh, that was about 3 years ago. Well, maybe a little bit more than that. In any case, I was watching a news magazine program, mm-hmm. and there was this gentleman on there who used to work for NASA during the 1960s. And he asserted confidently that the moon landings were, number one, impossible, and number two, falsified in order to fool the Soviets about U.S. strategic capability during the height of the Cold War. And to tell you the truth, I was really a big fan of the moon landings. So it was kind of the wrong person to be telling this to. And yet, the good thing is that this idea caught my attention when I was still open-minded, you know, as a 14-year-old. So I watched his interview, and when I was done, I went to my bedroom where I had an entire wall covered with photographs from the first moon landing because I was the biggest fan in the whole world. And to tell you the truth, it was like all this time my eyes were wide shut. And there were certain things in the photographs that he had pointed out that you can see at moonmovie.com that were inconsistent with real photographs if they had taken place on the moon. Well, about 10 years went by. I was 24, and I had become a filmmaker. Well, my job as a filmmaker is to make fake things look real. And I was doing some film editing one day for a client who, lo and behold, had produced that television program I'd seen 10 years earlier. And I asked him, you know, do you remember that guy on your show who said we didn't go to the moon? What was his name? He said, you know, I don't remember. You're going to have to call the San Francisco production office. I did. They said I was 1 or 2 days away from having all 10-year-old material being deleted. Contacted him, and he suggested that I do a film about the moon landings being fraudulent. Well, I certainly wasn't convinced that they were fraudulent, but there were certain things that were certainly inconsistent with the alleged ability to go to the moon. For example, all of the photographs on the moon were taken by sunlight. There's no atmosphere on the moon. And there being an atmosphere on Earth, that pretty much gets rid of about 95% of the direct sunlight. So photographs on the moon should be 20 times brighter and clearer than photographs on Earth. So you don't need flash photography. You certainly don't need lighting equipment. And if you ever go out in the sun during the day on a clear day, you might stand one place and a friend of yours might stand next to you, and you'll notice that the shadows from each person, they are always cast in the same direction. In other words, they run parallel with one another. They never intersect. And if they were on the moon, certainly the sun would cast the shadows in the same direction. Well, in a few of the photographs, the shadows are cast in directions that end up intersecting with one another, sometimes at as much as 90 degrees. Then there were things like the behavior of the astronauts. There were three men who allegedly were on the first trip to go to the moon, and two of the three have never granted a one-on-one interview since they went to the moon. Then there were things like the behavior of the people at NASA. The administrator of NASA, James Webb, for some reason suddenly resigned just days before the first Apollo mission. Then there were scientific facts that the Soviet Union had launched the first satellite, the first animal, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three. They had done all these milestones first ahead of the United States, and in fact, for every 20 hours we spent in space, they spent 100 hours. They were five times more advanced in space technology than we were. And yet, as you know, to this day, the Soviets nor any other country has claimed to have gone to the moon. I still was reluctant to believe that the moon landings were fraudulent, even though Tricky Dick Nixon was president at the time, and the Cold War was at its peak, and the Vietnam War was going on, and certainly this would be a great distraction from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them the benefit of the doubt. I said, well, maybe there's a 1 out of 4 chance they didn't go to the moon. If you really think about it, 1 out of 4 chance that the moon landings were fake, that's kind of big considering the magnitude of the event. So I started producing this film called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, suggesting the possibility that the moon landings were fraudulent. I certainly thought I would never know in my lifetime whether we went to the moon or not. Well, I was wrong. 3.5 years into the 5-year project, a source at NASA gave me a never-before-seen reel of footage, an unedited reel of footage that shows the astronauts falsifying just one shot, one photograph, one film image of their mission, dated 3 days after they left for the moon. And lo and behold, there's Neil Armstrong, there's Michael Collins, there's Buzz Aldrin, and they are falsifying one photograph of their mission 3 days into the flight, proving that while they were on the rocket at the time of the launch, and did go up, they remained in Earth orbit for 8.5 days and never left the safety of Earth orbit, and then splashed down into the Pacific Ocean 8.5 days later as if they had actually gone to the moon. And one of the great questions that many people ask is, well, how could you have fooled so many people? There were 100,000 people in the space program, which is true. You know, there was the person making the glove and the door and the boot and mm-hmm. The fact is, the whole thing was so departmentalized, only the people at the very top saw the whole picture. And in fact, once they were on the rocket and went up into Earth orbit, there was no independent press coverage, and only 3 eyewitnesses, each government employees, to the greatest event in human history. And you realize that it was actually much, much easier to falsify than what first appears. And I'm afraid it's sad to say that with this new evidence we discovered, and you can even see a clip of this at moonmovie.com,
mm-hmm.
We know for a fact, it's not a theory, that they did not go to the moon. It's an absolute fact. It's sad. Unfortunately, it is a fact. And until the government comes clean, we're afraid that they're going to do the same or worse in the future.
You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm talking to Bart Sobrell. You can visit him online at moonmovie.com. And if you want to see pictures of some of the things that he's talking about, there's some links up at the top. Click on clues, and you can see the top 10 reasons along with some interesting photographs. Now, this is one of the things that I thought was the most mind-bending. You were mentioning some things about Stanley Kubrick, and I was wondering if we could talk about that next, because I think that's really interesting, and the film Eyes Wide Shut.
Well, Stanley Kubrick was certainly a very talented filmmaker. Now, this is, admittedly, I want to say this, this is really just circumstantial and poetic evidence. I'm certainly not going to say that what I'm about to say is any concrete proof that the moon landings were fake. However, there are very wonderful and interesting nuances as to why Stanley Kubrick might have participated in the faking of the moon landings. First of all, you have to say, if they couldn't go to the moon, they had 2 choices, deductively. They had to hire somebody to falsify the photographic record of them allegedly going to the moon. And they had two choices. They could either hire the general of the video department at the Pentagon and get great security and amateur results, or they could hire the best filmmaker on the planet and get the short-term benefit of quality film and worry about that potential security problem later on. Now, I always ask myself, well, what would I do if I were them? And certainly, I would think you have to convince people. That's the most important thing. So I would have hired the best filmmaker on the planet, who happened to be Stanley Kubrick, who lived in Great Britain, who coincidentally was shooting a film about going to the moon at the time. Now, it is a fact that the flight director and the rocket designer, both from NASA, visited the set of 2001, A Space Odyssey, just a year and a half before they allegedly went to the moon. During The Shining, which is a film by Stanley Kubrick.
That's my favorite film in the world, by the way.
There, you have to pay attention. There, you remember the little boy in the film? Well, there's a scene where he walks up to his mom or dad in the film, and lo and behold, you know what his T-shirt says?
What?
Apollo 11.
No way.
It does.
I'm going to have to watch that again for the 30th time.
And
wow.
Here's another thing.
Okay.
Stanley Kubrick's last film that he ever made was called Eyes Wide Shut. And he had a very unusual stipulation in the contract with Warner Brothers about that particular film. He insisted contractually that that film open on a particular day. Now, I think it was not the normal weekend or Friday release. I believe it was like a Wednesday release. So it was kind of unusual. And they didn't really care. I mean, if it made the guy happy, okay, we'll open the film on this day. Well, it was July 20th, 1999. He insisted that the film, Eyes Wide Shut, open on this particular day, the 30th anniversary of putting a man on the moon. He actually died before the film was released, and as he stipulated contractually, the film opened up on the 30th anniversary of allegedly going to the moon.
And the film was all about things not appearing as they really were.
That's correct.
Of course, even though
yeah.
it was a pretty twisted film for yeah. those who saw it.
And his special effects photographer, you know, were known to be the best on Earth, who made films like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, all about space travel. And I believe to this day, 2001, A Space Odyssey, is still the highest quality science fiction film ever made, next to, of course, Apollo 11.
Exactly.
There's a little joke there, Shelley.
But I'm bummed. Let me give you a drum roll. You're listening to Beyond Reality. You can visit me online at galactichealing.org. And I'm talking to Bart Sabrell, and you can visit his website right now at moonmovie.com. We're talking about the space program. Was it Live or was it Memorex? This is what I want to ask. What do you think should be done about this? Besides, I mean, I know you think that the government should just acknowledge that this is not real, but what do you think that it says in a bigger way as far as society? Does it speak to other government cover-ups, or what does it mean to you in your mind?
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say they could go to the moon. Let's say it were physically possible to go to the moon. One thing to consider just about that is they allegedly went to the moon in 1969. That's more than a third of a century ago. The entire computing power of the entire rocket at that time had less computing power than my $25 watch, which I bought at Walmart. Since 1972, during the Nixon administration, no one has ever gone beyond Earth orbit. Not the Soviets, not the Chinese, not the Japanese. The space shuttle only goes 200 miles above the Earth. And yet they're claiming that with a third of a century older technology, they went 100,000% farther than the space shuttle has ever gone and never killed anybody.
Isn't there something about atmospheric pressure that it is impossible for us to leave?
Well, one of the greatest reasons is probably the Van Allen radiation belt. This is a field of magnetism that starts above the Earth at about 1,000 miles and extends an additional 25,000 miles. All manned flights in human history, from the Soviets and the Americans, Gemini, Mercury, Soyuz, Skylab, the space shuttle, they all have been below this field of radiation. The only time they're said to have gone through this intense field of radiation would be going to the moon. And you have to wonder why they've never been back since. I mean, Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic in 1928. Would there be a 50-year gap before someone flew across the Atlantic again? And they're claiming that they're going to, quote, return to the moon 50 years after they went the first time. You know, it's a great quote that says, if they really went to the moon, why can't they go to the moon? You know, why can't these events be replicated? And in scientific theory, unless something can be duplicated, it's not considered to be true. To me, the most profound part of this mission, let's say that they could go, let's say somehow, in theory, they have the technology to go to the moon. That would have a certain level of significance historically to mankind.
Right.
If they couldn't go, and they lied about it, and they embezzled billions of dollars, and they falsified it, and they murdered people to make it go down, that's more profound of an event historically than if they had actually gone. So here we have, now that we've discovered this footage, and mind you, I've done 8 years of research into this topic, we now have proof that they didn't go to the moon. So what you realize is the most significant event in human history is the faking of the moon landing. The faking of the moon landing is more profound of an event than if they'd actually gone. And now that we know it's true, we have this great truth that mankind bit off more than they could chew. The United States said we would go to the moon before the end of the 1960s. It proved to be impossible. And instead of being humble, having humility, we cheated at poker. It was like a poker game, you know. We had a bad hand and we bluffed. We pretended to go when we really didn't have the capability to make us look stronger to our foe, the Soviets. And now you realize one of the greatest events in human history is the faking of the moon landing. The problem is, here you have this great truth that mankind set out to do something, we couldn't do it, and we didn't have the humility to tell the truth, therefore we faked it. And that is more significant than if we'd actually gone, and now this great truth is being hoarded. There's only a handful of people who know for certain that the moon landings were fraudulent. And until this truth comes out, I think mankind's growth is stunted until this truth comes out. George Orwell said something very profound. He said, whoever controls the past controls the future. And this isn't like an event that the United States lied about 35 years ago. They're lying about it every day. Every day there are commemorative coins and commemorative stamps, and every day in every library in America, you look up Apollo and it says we went to the moon when we did not. And until that truth is told, the same people and their apprentices are in power in the government, and they're going to do the same or worse, like any addict. You know, they get addicted to deception and manipulation, and they're going to do the same or worse. And that's really the profound significance of the event, is that until this thing is corrected, the federal government is going to continue to do it.
So talk about why they did it? Was it because we were competing with the Russians, or what do you think? Why did they do this?
Yeah, it's a multifaceted benefit to the people who did it. Mind you that murderers, you know, they have a reason why they kill. Thieves have a reason why they steal. And liars have a reason why they don't tell the truth. The Soviets were our rival, you know, in the space race, in the Cold War. And the height of technology at the time was space technology. You know, at the turn of two centuries ago, it was the automobile. And a third into the next century, it was the airplane. And then beyond that, it was space technology. So it was perceived that whoever had the best space program was the most technologically advanced nation. And with the Soviets having launched, remember, they launched Sputnik in 1957, first mm-hmm. satellite. Then they did the first animal. Then they did the first man. Then they did the first woman. Then they did the first spacewalk. Then they did the first crew of three. Then they did two spacecraft at the same time for the first time. They did everything first, and it was embarrassing to the United States. So they cheated. You know, it's really sad that the country that our founding fathers initiated has become so perverted from the initial values. I remember Franklin Delano Roosevelt said about the Nazis who were at the Olympics in the 30s. They said, you know, they like to win by cheating. That's what he said, to put them down. And yet we had become a nation that in order to win, that we would resort to cheating, that we would resort to embezzling billions of dollars from the taxpayers and even threatening the lives and murdering the lives of innocent astronauts who would not participate in this fraud.
You're listening to... Oh, excuse me. Keep going.
Well, I'm just saying until that is acknowledged, until, you know, the confession about that is made, then I'm afraid the person, is the government, the entity, is going to keep doing the same or worse.
Absolutely. You're listening to Beyond Reality. I'm talking to Bart Sabrell. You can visit him online at moonmovie.com. And if you would like to ask a question tonight, give us a call at 1-877-876-5227. Now tell us about the moon rocks. What about the moon rocks that they claim to have gotten?
Yeah, that's one of the, basically, people on the other side of the argument say there are three points that to them prove that we went to the moon. Number one is the testimony of the astronauts. Well, have human beings ever lied, even under oath? Well, in the mid-1950s, there was a game show in which people were tested on their intellectual ability, and one person was particularly beloved by the audience. So they decided they'd give him the answers in advance so that he would win. Time magazine had on the cover that he was the smartest man in America, and yet Time magazine was wrong, that he cheated, and that we know that people, you know, will lie, can lie, and do lie. The other evidence is that they say there are laser reflectors on the moon that could have only been put there by the astronauts, and that today scientists, if you have this capability, can bounce a laser off this mirror on the moon, and therefore humans, Americans, must have been there on the moon. Well, the fact is the Soviet Union placed the lasers on the moon 2 years before Apollo 11, and they did that with unmanned probes. So that's not really proof that Americans ever set foot on the moon. The third is the evidence of the moon rocks. And unfortunately, it's a federal crime to be in possession of a moon rock. So there really can't be independent coverage. And while there was this intense goal to reach the moon by December 31st, 1969, the director of the space program, I mean the rocket designer, von Braun, had the time to visit Antarctica a year before Apollo 11, where he retrieved several 100 pounds of lunar meteorites, which we believe were used to fake the moon rocks. that they use those as samples of what lunar rock should look like, and that's how they falsified the moon rock. So each alleged proof that the government puts forward as evidence that man had walked on the moon can be disputed. And you really just have to look at the logic of it. I mean, the Japanese have sent a probe to an asteroid, which is an extremely difficult space project, and yet no one has claimed to have left Earth orbit. Surely, I mean, we're coming up on 50 years after the event, and yet no other country has the technology to go to the moon. I was in Japan a couple of years ago, and they have video cell phones where you flip open your cell phone, and you see a picture of the person you're talking to, and they see a picture of you. Japan has had those for 5 years. They still are not available in the U.S. market because the bandwidth that Japan uses is much higher quality than that of the U.S. So why is it that the Soviets, the Japanese, the Chinese, the Britons, how come they have never sent a man to the moon? You wonder why. Because it's impossible. If it's impossible in the year 2006, then it's all the more impossible in 1969.
You mentioned some items they left behind. Couldn't they just see those through a telescope?
No, that's unfortunately not the case. According to NASA, there's no Earth-bound telescope that's powerful enough to see any man-made objects if there are any left on the moon. Also, according to NASA, the Hubble telescope is too powerful, and that it wasn't designed to focus on an object as close as the moon. So according to NASA, there's no way of telling whether or not there are any man-made objects left on the moon. So that's a convenient way for them because they don't ever have to prove it. And after all, the moon is a quarter million miles away. I mean, how can there be independent verification that anyone was ever there? The
right.
only proof that America had and what convinced the masses was a television picture. A mm-hmm. television picture completely controlled by the federal government. And that's what convinced people that they were on the moon. They also had a predisposition to wanting to believe that we were on the moon. And to tell you the truth, there was really no reason to doubt it. There was no precedent that we should question, you know, that the moon landings were fraudulent. And at the same time, everyone wanted to believe it. The Vietnam War was going on. The Soviets were our rival. And we had all of this hype. And to tell you the truth, we wanted to believe
right.
that they were on the moon. And it became all the more difficult for people to look at it objectively.
Exactly. I'm talking to Bart Sibrel. You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. Now, when you made your other film, Astronauts Gone Wild, why don't you tell us some of the things that happened when you began to confront some of the astronauts about this issue?
Well, after making the first film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, it dawned on me, well, why don't I just track down some of the astronauts and ask them to swear on the Bible whether they walked on the moon or not. To me, it seemed very simple. Since the completion of my film, Fox picked it up and they've aired segments of it, and then they created a whole special around it called Conspiracy Theory, Did We Land on the Moon? And that aired 3 times, and it really created national momentum questioning the authenticity of the moon landings. And I thought, well, why not just ask these guys to just swear on the Bible? So you have the three astronauts from Apollo 11, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and Buzz Aldrin, and I thought, well, why don't I just ask them? Well, seeing how two of the three never give interviews, it became a little bit more challenging to find them. So I basically tracked them down and found them in public places, and then with a camera crew and a Bible, I approached them and said, you know, why don't you just swear on the Bible that you walked on the moon? In the case of Neil Armstrong, I offered him $5,000 cash just to take 3 seconds to put his hand on the Bible, raise his other hand, and to say, I swear to God I walked on the moon. He refused to do it. I said, you can go to Hawaii on me, you can give it to your favorite charity. And he would not do it. He started shaking like a leaf, and he would not take an oath that he walked on the moon. Michael Collins, his crewmate, I asked him to swear on the Bible that he orbited the moon, because he allegedly orbited the moon while they descended from lunar orbit and walked. And he refused to take an oath that he even orbited the moon. Then Buzz Aldrin. When I tracked him down, it was in Los Angeles, I asked him, I said, you know, why don't you just, you give these interviews all the time about how you allegedly walked on the moon. He ends up profiteering, it seems, more than other astronauts off of this event. So I thought, you know, what about you? Why don't you swear to God that you walked on the moon? And he became very agitated. It was as if I was confronting him in front of his wife, asking him, how's your mistress? He became very defensive, very angry, and ended up punching me for asking him to swear to God on the Bible that he walked on the moon. And we also tracked down five other astronauts and giving them the opportunity to swear that they walked on the moon. And a few of them do grant interviews. And, of course, they charge $2,000 an hour for a filmed interview, which we paid. And we found that if you go to moonmovie.com, you can see clips of these astronauts who sometimes make very contradictory statements about their trip to the moon. I asked one astronaut, you know, during the descent to the moon, I noticed in the recordings of it that there were no sound of rockets. I believe that the voices were recorded from Earth orbit, which they were simply in a free orbit around the Earth, therefore there were no sound of the rockets. And it was from Earth orbit that they did the dialogue as if they were descending to the moon. I noticed in the background there was no sound of rockets being fired. It was perfectly dead silent. And when I asked one astronaut about that, he said, well, that's because of the vacuum of space, which is pretty much their catch-all excuse for all these anomalies that cannot be explained. And yet, when I asked another astronaut about descending to the moon, I said, were those engines loud? He said, oh, yeah, they were very loud. So, you know, it's either loud or dead silent. It can't be both. And it's the exact same circumstances on different missions. So I asked another astronaut, what about the radiation of the Van Allen radiation belts? And he said, well, I didn't go through them. Which I'm like, okay, you know, I think you're right. You didn't go through them, but if you went to the moon, you know, you're supposed to have gone through them. And then he quickly changed his mind and said, oh, yeah, that's right, we went through them, when I pointed it out to him. So they're pretty inconsistent answers from the astronauts about the details of their trip to the moon. And unfortunately, you know, they're regarded as national heroes. And trying to pursue the truth, there's a lot of criticism. Why am I bothering national heroes? I mean,
right, why are you acting like a jerk and having national heroes punch your lights out?
You know, it's pretty sad that our country's national heroes are liars. And the problem with coming forward now and telling the truth that the moon landings are fraudulent is likely that the public would ask, well, what other things have you lied to us about? And, you know, it would take a man of great courage to want to open that can of worms and just acknowledge, yeah, we made a mistake, and now let's go beyond it. And I believe until this truth comes out that the government cannot be trusted.
What about Apollo 13?
Apollo 13 was the flight that allegedly had technical problems and therefore made it difficult to reach the moon. The fact is Apollo 11 originally was calculated on paper as having a 1 out of 10,000 chance of succeeding. And after they allegedly went to the moon and people saw it on TV, the public was satisfied. When they went to the moon allegedly the second time, Apollo 12, people were telephoning the networks complaining that reruns of I Love Lucy were being interrupted. Imagine if right now we're watching people plant a flag on the South Pole. You know, South Pole during winter is 200 mile per hour winds, minus 200 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's say as we're doing the interview, we've got the TV on in the background, and there they are for the first time. Humans plant a flag on the South Pole. Ta-da. And 6 months later, they're planting a flag again. Yeah, we're probably not going to watch. You know, we've already seen it. And apparently that was the view of the jaded public in 1969 after they had seen men plant a flag on the moon. By the time they did it the second time, they would rather see reruns of I Love Lucy. So the very next mission, Apollo 13, had this element of life and death jeopardy. And get this, it was Apollo 13, and on April 13th at 13:13 military time, they had this unlucky accident. The fact is, they never left Earth orbit either. Part of the contrivance of that story is that they orbited around the moon and were in jeopardy of not making it back to Earth. None of the missions ever left Earth orbit. So Apollo 13 was completely staged. The element of life and death jeopardy was simply a contrivance to show that, yes, going to the moon involved this great drama, to get people to support the viewing and intrigue of going to the moon. It also added a little bit of realism. I mean, they made it look so easy, going to the moon. Kind of wondered, why could it be so easy? Again, you know, the space shuttle just orbits the Earth. It's killed 14 people. And they're claiming they went 100,000% farther than the space shuttle and never killed anybody. So they decided that Lucky 13, Apollo 13, and on April 13th at 13:13, would have this accident to show that, well, there are a few obstacles in going to the moon, and it would add intrigue. And I consider that the most despicable of all the missions. They had the whole nation praying for them, you know, to safely come back to Earth when they weren't in jeopardy at all.
What about these new plans that they have now to go to the moon? What do you think that's going to be like? Aren't they planning on the 50th anniversary or coming up pretty soon?
Well, they're claiming that they want to return to the moon 50 years after going the first time. I mean, that's quite a bit of difference in the timeline. I mean, if you follow the history of flight from the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk and then Lindy flying over the Atlantic and then breaking the sound barrier and then going to the highest altitude, going to the moon, it's the statistical anomaly in the history of spaceflight. I mean, we know that technology does not go backwards. And yet, when it comes to space technology, we have gone backwards. Mm-hmm. We somehow have this brilliant capability to go to the moon in 1969, when Nixon had been president for 6 months. And yet, that cannot be replicated until 50 years later. It really doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the logical progression of technology. In fact, NASA right now is having a contest. And they're having people suggest ideas as to how we can successfully go to the moon.
You gotta be kidding.
I mean, if we went there so easily, I would say, you know, might as well do it the exact same way it worked. Why would you even risk the lives of people or the money to try to go there a different way? I would go the exact same way. We know it worked, right? If it in fact did work. So why is NASA holding a contest to create a vehicle to go to the moon when they allegedly knew how to do it 35 years ago? It doesn't make any sense.
Are they really doing that? That's amazing.
Uh-huh. They're offering a couple of $1,000,000.
But how are we supposed to know? We're not rocket science.
For a vehicle to go to the moon. Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense.
Did you ever read that book? I think I told you about it. It's called Deception Point by Dan Brown. And it's talking about a big cover-up in the space program. I think you would like it if you haven't read it already. I'm going to recommend that one to you. You know Mr. Da Vinci Code. He wrote a book earlier than that about the space program. Yeah, pretty interesting, to say the least. You know, when we talk about some of the things you're saying today, they're so, it's just so mind-bending, because like you said, I mean, this is like apple pie and Chevrolet, and then come to find out, it is an apple pie and Chevrolet. So how did that make you feel? Because you've been loving this since you were a kid. I mean, How did you feel when you when it first really washed over you?
Well,
this is not true.
Experience. It was really sad. It's not just, it doesn't have anything, in my opinion, to do with being American. It has to do with being human. That Roosevelt said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Even the Bible says that anything done without faith is sin, meaning that fear is ungodly. And the reason why the moon landings were faked is because of fear. Fear that the Soviets would perceive to be more advanced than we were. Fear that the American public would come to realize we spent billions of dollars in an attempt to go to the moon and we're not able to succeed. And when you see this newly discovered footage of them faking part of the mission, it becomes very clear that they never left Earth orbit. They never went to the moon. And it was great sadness for the state of mankind, that mankind was so fearful that we cannot tell the truth to one another. We can't even tell the truth to our own citizens. It's the depth of the deception is so ungodly. And there are people who are so blindly patriotic, they won't see any fault in their own government. And to me, I am a patriot, and therefore I want the faults of the government to be exposed so that they can improve and do better in the future. And so until this particular sin is confessed by the government, they will not get any better. They are, you know, destined to become scoundrels and worse scoundrels until their past transgressions are brought into the light.
Why is it that this is still such a secret? I mean, do you think people are just in kind of that group mentality, that, I don't want to call it brainwashing, but, you know, just kind of like we're the dazed sheep in the flock, or what do you think? I mean, you would think with so many people involved, I mean, tens of thousands of people, that somebody would have said, hey, wait a minute, this isn't right or something.
Well, the fact is that even though there were tens of thousands of people involved, they really believed we were going to the moon. The people at NASA who made the glove and the boot and the door and the rocket, they did their job. I mean, the vehicle did go into outer space, into Earth orbit. But once it was up there, very few people knew the whole picture. Maybe five people at NASA and the people who built the sets, you know, wherever that was, at a military base, very few people ended up knowing that the moon landings are fraudulent. And very few people today, you know, would want to admit that their mother was an axe murderer before they were born. I mean, it's like trying to tell somebody that, you know, that their parent was a murderer, trying to tell someone that this great event in human history and American history was falsified. It's like they do not want to perceive such a thing. They are not open-minded to receiving such a revelation. There's, you know, the Bible says that pride comes before a fall, that pride leads to blindness, which is the inability to see the truth.
You're listening to Beyond Reality on BBS Radio. If you'd like to ask a question of Bart Sobrell, you can give us a call at 1-877-876-5227, and you can visit him online at moonmovie.com. Now, here's something. I know you and I talked earlier that some of the key players in this moon expedition, whatever you want to call that, they've since passed away, and that many of them seem to cross over around in their 70s. Is that a conspiracy, or do you think it's just a coincidence, or what would you want to call that?
Well, I would say that there were a lot of people that tracked them who were dying at the age of 70, as if there was some predetermined age that someone in 1969 set forth, that we're not going to kill these astronauts or the people involved right away, otherwise it would freak everybody out. We'll let them live to a ripe old age. At that time may have seemed like 70. A lot of them seem to drop dead at the age of 70 or 69, as if someone, Big Brother, whoever, is afraid that these gentlemen who know the truth might, you know, have a deathbed confession, might be diagnosed with cancer, chemotherapy, 6 months to live, and want to clear their conscience. That's really the hope that we have. I'd say there's, you know, about a 10% chance that one of the astronauts, someone involved, will come forward as they are approaching the throne of God and will want to clear their conscience.
Right.
Sooner or later, historically, it will be proven that we didn't go to the moon, and they will have that as their legacy of being liars and scoundrels and weak-willed people. So there's the possibility, as remote as it may be, that one of them will want to clear their conscience.
Stanley Kubrick died when he was about 70, didn't he?
At the age of 70, yeah.
At the age of 70. Who is left? Who is still alive amongst these people who could have been potentially involved?
Well, I would say that the people who were pulling the strings, the puppeteers of this event, were at that time probably in their 50s or 60s. So they have since left this mortal coil. The average age of the astronauts at the time was probably 30 to 35. So right now their average age is around 75. And, you know, perhaps one of them will want to come forward. Unfortunately, they are under the pressure of not just ruining their own lives and reputation, ruining all the other guys, you see. Because if any one of them faked going to the moon, then they all faked going to the moon. And it would be different if there was only one moon mission involving one man. But there were six moon missions involving 18 men. And so if any one of those men confesses, he's really inadvertently confessing for the rest of them, which may not want to confess. And I think that's the pressure they're under, that they, it's one thing to want to clear their own conscience, but they're kind of forcing the confession of their other colleagues who may or may not want to do that.
Exactly. You've been listening to Beyond Reality. And my guest, Bart Sabrell. You can get more information about the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, at www.moonmovie.com. You should check it out. This is a pretty compelling film, folks. It definitely blew my mind. Bart, I thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem.
And I wish you continued success. So before you go, let us know, what are you doing now? What's up now in your...
Well, we've got the first film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. We've got Astronauts Gone Wild, produced a few years later. We also have their one and only press conference that they gave. I transferred it from film and color-corrected it, and these three gentlemen on the first moon mission, rather than looking like conquering heroes at this press conference, for an hour and a half, they look like they're at a funeral. If you really look at their faces and their emotions, they are not behaving like they... went trip of a half a million miles and survived to see their families again. They really look like they are under pressure for covering something up. I mean, you can see they look like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half. And then we also released the complete newly discovered footage, it completely unedited, so you can see the behind-the-scenes trickery that they were doing, as well as the Apollo 1 accident report about the crew that would have been the first crew to go to the moon, and how very likely that mission was deliberately sabotaged so one of the astronauts would not come forward and expose the hoax. And all that is recently released at moonmovie.com.
Has it been worth it for you to put yourself on the line?
Yeah, there have been some problems that I've had to deal with, friends and family, along the way with the production of this. And yeah, it's been costly, both financially and emotionally. But, you know, the truth is the truth, and I think the world would be a better place if the truth came out about this horrific lie.
Great. Well, thanks for being here. Visit Bart online at moonmovie.com, and stay tuned next week for another edition of Beyond Reality. I'm Dr. Shelley Kerr. You can visit me online at www.galactichealing.org. I've got information about past life regressions, soul purpose journey, future memories, and you can visit my other website at shop.galactichealing.org for books and gems and minerals and all kinds of stuff. And we'll see you next time on Beyond Reality.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.